House of the Lord. Amen. Good to see your faces all again. I know we didn't see Wednesday and things. It's good to be here with you. No place like home, is there? The shows on the inside, you know, even in our houses and things, there's not that complete rest just yet. Why? Because we're still groaning for that adoption of the body. We go to our home, that won't change. It won't. Doesn't have seasons like this, you know. It's just great all the time. Amen. So praise the Lord. That's what I'm living for. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, the Lord willing, I think we'll be able to finish up Book of Ephesus today. It's only been 18 parts. I don't think that's too long. So, verse 10 there. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am also an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Titius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I'd like to preach this morning. Or afternoon, rather, standing securely in your position. Let's bow our heads together. If you have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord as we approach his word, give it all the hands. There's a God that knows everything behind every hand. So let's pray and believe God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to approach you in that manner, Lord, that you're not just a God afar off, but you're our Father. We appreciate you, Lord, for what you've done for us, for the love and mercy you've shown to us, how you've come and reached our lives out of a muck of sin and give us your righteousness, Father. We're happy, Lord, to be Christians today. Lord, as we come into your house, we don't want to come shamefully. So, Lord, we pray that the blood would wash us, purify us again, Lord, that all of our iniquities, all of our sins would just be washed away, Lord, and you could only see yourself reflected in our hearts, Lord, by the Holy Ghost that you gave us. Lord, as we approach your throne of mercy, Lord, may you receive the glory and praise out of our lives. Lord, we just come to rededicate ourselves again. We come to the house of God, the house of correction, Lord, that if we're walking in the wrong step, Father, correct us. Show us, Lord. May we walk humbly before you and be just a witness, a lighthouse to show that the resurrections did happen, Lord, and you're still here on earth today. May you manifest yourself in the people. If there's anything, Lord, if there's any soul not saved, may you save it. If there's any soul that's empty, may you fill it. Lord, if there's any sick in body, I pray that your Spirit will come and heal each one. Commit the service into your hands. May you receive all the glory and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get into our text here, I'd like to make a few comments. You know, Dad gave us the report there, and that is partially my fault as well. We do kind of do the finances together as much as humanly possible. And I don't think I even told him that I had a six-month report and then an annually one to make those formulas come out right. you ever worked with Excel and things, you mess one thing up and you mess the whole thing up. So that's pretty much what happened. But those amounts are accurate, is the best of my knowledge as well. We have had new people come in and things, so I just like to explain to what I told the church about 6 months ago now. Last year, I had continued to take my tithes from working at the school and paying it into the church, and then every so often I would take an offering out for doing the pastoral work, just whenever. There was no real rhyme or reason to it, just a stipend, if anything. And then I think I told the church that at the end of the year I realized that this wasn't very wise, because I pay taxes on this money from getting paid from the school. I give it to the church. Now the church has more income than what it really does, because the money came right back to me, and then I got to pay taxes on it again because it's additional income.
Right.
So I determined that probably wasn't very wise, because it costs a significant portion of that money just to go away to taxes. And I don't believe in cheating on your taxes, but if there's a way to use the rules to keep the money in the house of God,
yes,
I think we can use it better.
Amen.
Than the government can.
Amen.
Okay. So I don't want to go too far on that, but don't cheat your taxes now, but don't give them free money either. I think we ought to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So the $250 there was, I found this out right when I claimed my taxes, so I had taken out one offering in the beginning of the year, but I haven't done so since, because I've just used my tithes kind of as my, stipend or something. Yeah, I just keep my own tithes for what I do here, and that, as long as, Lord willing, I'd like to be able to do that. I'm not going to fall on any pastor. That's a job. It is.
Right.
You know, and
right.
The Bible says that, you know, you don't muzzle the ox and things, so they that live by the, work of the gospel should live by the gospel.
Amen.
I believe that. But as long as I can, and in my heart, I know I can live without burning the church, I want to do that. And that's my heart's desire. So I'm actually going back to school to get my master's, just really for that purpose, that I'll be able to make a little bit more if I have a master's compared to a bachelor's, and I just free up the church money even more, because I like Dad said, I want to give it to missions. That's really my heart's desire. You know, as long as we can take care of our stuff here, and tell we're a little bit more ahead than I even thought we were, so praise the Lord. But obviously I can't live off $2,000 every 6 months. It's just not going to work. So I don't want to get too much into that, but I will hear soon. As we're at the last part of here in the book of Ephesus, and I do want to wrap this up this morning, because I have been felt led for a while that I think it's time to go through church order again. I can't tell you how long ago. I didn't go in as much detail as I hoped. I just didn't feel to at the time, but I think that we've progressed some. We've got new people and things like that. I think it's time to, it's a terrible expression, but up the ante. You know, it's time to grow up a little bit.
Amen.
And, I hope we can handle it. You know, Brother Branham had the same thing. If you look at every time he taught church order, it was, you know, there was more every time.
Right.
Dealt with this church, you know. And I think we piled on all too much at one time, you know, you just drown somebody, right? But if you take a little water at a time, you'll live off of it. So that's what we're planning on to there. So come. And even after, I don't know how long I'm going to take. I don't like to make those kind of judgment calls, because I don't know what God has in store.
Right.
I don't know how to lead me this way or that way. Don't be afraid to bring visitors. I'm okay with them knowing how we do things. I've even been to a church once that was going to teach the church owner and say, don't bring any visitors and things. And I'm like, why not? You got to tell God what can convert somebody. Maybe
Amen.
The church owner will convert them, that we actually mean business around here.
Right.
Well, most churches, church order is, well, just don't hang on the chandeliers, but you can do everything else. You know, it's ridiculous. I can't.
Right.
I remember we went to a, what kind of church was that? Non-denominational, apostolic, some style like that church. And my goodness, everybody just blabbing, all for service. And I forgot, because I remember when I went to the Church of God, that is the moment. That's how they do it. And just so long in the word of the hour and around the Holy Spirit thing, that you're just not used to that anymore. So you're sitting there like, don't you people know anything? Well, they don't. They've lost it. When you turn the light down, you're just going to walk in darkness.
Amen.
And just disrespect and things. And, you know, and praise the Lord, they gave a good message and stuff like that, but it's not the same. It just isn't. That's why we should appreciate what God has
Amen.
Given us. It is the greatest thing there ever was.
Yeah.
It's the word of the hour. There's nothing else to look for. That we have the pearl of great price, and I'm so happy to be associated with that.
Amen.
So keep me in prayer. as we go through this, I do plan on this time, we're going to just lay it all down just the way I feel led to. I believe in doing things the way the prophet taught.
Amen.
So I think even if you can disagree with me, as long as you know where I stand, we can get along a little better. I don't know how many times I've had a hard time with a minister or brother just because I had no idea where he really stood on the issue, so I didn't know what to think of it.
And
when there's confusion, we know it's not God, because God is not the author of confusion. He's an author of peace.
Amen.
So even when we get to these little details about this or that, I hope you can just believe with me.
Amen.
I'm just going to do the best I feel that God wants us to do. I base it on the word of God. I base it on the word of the hour and whatever God will lead us to do. I believe even that there's some physical things we can't do because we don't have the same building Brother Branham did. Okay, I understand that. But whatever I can do, that's what we're doing.
Amen. Amen.
So keep us in prayer. After we get done with how many sermons I want to do that for, I don't know. I would like to have questions and answers just in case if there's anything. And I might even put one out here next week sometime. And if you have one as we're going through it, just drop it in there. You can put your name. You don't have to. I'm not going to call you out or anything like that and say, well, I'm going to treat you funny because you asked a question about something. You know, and I've often got... just so boggled with so many ministers that get offended you ask them a question.
Right.
Well, don't. Well, what about, just trust my leadership and think, well, just answer my question. Is it that hard? Show me where you're getting this from and I'll be fine, you know. But you get offended about it. I'm not that way. I'm a school teacher. Okay, I get asked questions all the time. You ain't going to ask anything I haven't heard 10 times worse. Okay? You haven't. You're just not. So praise the Lord for that. I do have... let me just say it like this: as your pastor, I do have confidence that we can progress forward.
Amen.
I do. I think it's timely now. Yeah. I think we've learned how to respect God and things like that. We've learned how to structure services as far as doing things in order and things, and even the gifts beginning to fall and the supernatural beginning to happen. We just want to keep the steam in the engine.
Amen.
We don't want it just blowing off the top and causing a bunch of smoke and confusion. We want it in the engine. We want the gospel to continue to go forward, rolling on the tracks real smooth.
Amen.
So that's why we're doing this. So praise the Lord. I hope that's okay.
Amen.
Like I said, please, I don't just say that to blow hot smoke. Pray for me. Okay? I just like to preach. It's a lot easier, to be honest, but there's times when we have to teach these things. That's part of the gospel as well.
Amen.
We want to do that. I do remember the church there in Illinois. I haven't heard any updates yet. I will probably call Brother Josh maybe today or tomorrow just to see how things are going there, you know, with the pastor and all that, and lift them up. And also us, just give you some dates. It'll be August 3rd through the 9th, and we'll be down in South Carolina with my mother. I will be preaching Sunday and Sunday. I'm only doing this on that Wednesday. And as of right now, I don't know who's preaching that. I'm usually felt led a lot earlier than this, so I don't know why, but maybe God's going to do something different. Okay.
You know,
it might just bring somebody that night or something. I don't know. I hope we don't do it that way. That stressed me out a little bit, but I believe he'll take care of us.
Yeah,
he's a big God. He really is.
Amen.
He knows all these things. He's already thought it all out, so we don't need to worry about it. It's working just fine.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I hope that clears all that up. So as we, let's go to the Word here. Let's just open up our Bibles again. Let's go look at that scripture one more time. Get into this text here. I don't plan on keeping you too long. I already took up a little bit of my time than I normally do. But as long as God wants us to be here, that's how long I want to stay here. Amen. Excuse me. We went through the book of Ephesus. I could go through all the different parts and bring it all together, but really, what is the book of Ephesus talking about? It's talking about what a spiritual church should act like, what a spiritual church needs to know. And as we've talked, I've repeated over and over and over again, when we started this, the first thing you need to know is that you're in a different position than the rest of the world is.
Yes.
As a believer in Jesus Christ, that isn't just a head knowledge believer, but one that's received the Spirit of God by the will of God. You've been born again by the will of God. You didn't just try to get into by some will of man or some group told you to do it. God moved on you.
Amen.
And he changed you from death unto life. That's what this book was addressing. A group of believers that had that experience and had wanted to progress further in the gospel.
Amen.
And the first thing he tells them is, look, you're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in
heavenly place in Christ Jesus, because he predestinated you before the foundation of the world when you were in Christ. And now that you receive the Holy Ghost, you're back in your rightful position again.
Yes.
The title for this morning, as I said earlier, I'm going to say it again, Standing Securely in Your Position.
Amen.
Standing securely in your position. And this position was outlined from the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Brother Branham said that is the rightful position of every believer.
Right.
Amen.
And not just in church.
No.
Not just when you're feeling good. Not just when you finally pray like you ought to. All the time.
Amen.
That is your rightful position. Yeah. You say, well, brother, I did this today. I just got a little upset today and I just can't be blessed. Would you just get in the blood and go back to your rightful position? We always throw these pity parties when we do things wrong. And you know what you'll do for God at that point? Nothing.
Amen.
So how can that possibly be the will of God for you to gravel on the ground and do nothing for him? When his commandment to the church was go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Don't go into your cave and cry about how bad you are all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
God knew how bad you were.
Amen.
We found out how bad we were. We need an atonement. God gave it to us.
Amen.
And he actually did it before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So we're without excuse, aren't we? There's no reason to live in unbelief when there's a belief to destroy it.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Paul wanted to just knock that into the Ephesians. As Brother Branham says, I believe it's in the Church Age book, that the first thing, or it might be in the Adoption series, I'm sorry, it's one of those two. He was trying to knock out of the Ephesians' head of ever being lost after you've been brought into Christ. Because
yeah.
That's what I see time and time again,
right.
Is people just get saved and lost.
True.
Saved and lost. And if you watch the pattern, usually it's only because they're doing something they know they ought not to.
Right.
And they just do it anyway. One of the main things I've seen is tithe paying and coming to church.
Right.
You stop one of those two things, I'm telling you right now, your experience will go in the tubes.
Right.
You'll be miserable. You'll be beating yourself over the mouth. Oh, I'm just terrible. Yeah, you're convicted. Now stop doing that and get to church and pay your tithes.
Amen.
Yeah. That's just a few things, you know, and that's what I'm talking. That's usually the first thing I see God or the devil do to a Christian. That's really in the body. You're not in the body, might he just pull you with any old whatever. Whatever your flesh tingles after, he'll get you pulled off on that. But if you're in a Christian, that's the first thing I see him attacking all the time. Because if he gets you out of the house of God, now you know you're supposed to be there.
Right.
You do. The Bible says we should come together the more as we see the day approaching. And unless you're blind, you should see the coming Lord is approaching.
Amen.
We should come together the more. So the second you don't come, you know, already in your conviction, you're not doing the work.
Right.
How do you expect to feel?
Right.
Willingly. And whatever's not a faith, your faith in your heart is saying go to church.
Right.
Whatever's not a faith, the Bible made it real plain. It's sin.
Right.
So you're automatically going to be in sin.
Right.
Hallelujah. And then as we grow in the Lord and, you know, you get those things settled, then there's something else will come in. And it's just, well, what is it? You need to stand in a position that we're in a war.
Amen.
And this is never going to stop until we get out of here. I'm the hardest headed one about this. I am goal oriented. You give me a list of 10, I'm just going to knock out one as fast as I can. Then I'm going to knock out two. I'm not going to do a little bit all 10 of them. I hate that. Excuse me. But here, excuse me, man. No McDonald's, I guess. Coffee. That was, yuck. That second time wasn't nearly as good as the first time. Goodness. Y'all praying for me, right? Mercy. I'm going to have to wash that down. Y'all have a little patience. Whew. Alrighty. I even lost my train of thought there on that one. But anywho, the devil, he's always fighting us as we, and I want to emphasize that. Go back to Ephesians 6 here. I want to show you what Paul says. He doesn't say it once. And I always make note of that. When I hear the Bible start saying something a few times in a row, chances are I need to hear that.
Right.
I need to hear it all, but maybe more emphasis. If you look at verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Excuse me. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is he telling them over and over and over again? You need to prepare yourself because the enemy is going to strike.
Amen.
I'm sorry, whatever preacher told you that once you get the Holy Ghost, there ain't no more troubles, there ain't no more hard times, there ain't no more, oh, I'm just in rosy peachy land, and we just have picnics with Christ all the time, and we're just coasting on. Oh, but blessed is he that overcomes. Overcomes what? No, that ain't what you did. You signed up as a soldier.
Amen.
In an army.
Yes, that's right.
That doesn't accept defeat.
No.
So I'm sorry, if your ambition as a Christian, we talked about ambition on Wednesday night, if that's your ambition as a Christian, I'm just going to let the devil get me on this one. You are not a Christian yet. You're not in the front lines. You took your armor off.
Right.
Here come the wiles of the devil just tearing you to pieces.
Right.
He didn't say take on some of the armor, and some people got some part of the armor on pretty tight.
Right.
The rest of it's a little loose.
Right.
And if any part of your armor is loose, that's where the devil knows to strike.
Yeah.
See, we got to give the devil a little credit. He's smart.
Right.
He is. If you give him an inch, he'll find it.
Amen.
He might look for a while. He might, and he's awfully patient with these things,
right,
isn't he? How many seen the devil do something in your life and realize it was 5 years ago when he started working on it?
Yeah.
And it was just this little thing, and then all you knew, that became this, and then that became this, and then that thing kept you out of church.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen. That's what happens, and then we already talk about what happens to a Christian that knows he ought to be in the house of God, and he ain't.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But you need to take on yourself the whole armor of God. Many, and I'm not trying to take your salvation away by this message, neither have I in the book of Ephesians the whole time. This is only addressed to those in. If you don't find, if you start seeing these things, you know, I should be able to have the Holy Spirit come and overcome this, but I can't seem to, maybe you need to go get it.
Right.
I mean, that's okay. I'm not trying to, but if you have it, you need to recognize what you have, and that what you have is way greater than you ever esteem the value of.
Right.
When Jesus said the pearl of great price, that was an understatement to what the Holy Ghost was. Or say, well, he just couldn't remember. No, that was life. That life coming into you is eternal life.
Right.
It didn't start. It won't end.
Right.
It's never been defeated. It wiped every devil in one man.
Amen.
And the same life God has now put in you, and it can do the same thing
Amen.
In you. We make Jesus Christ some Superman. Do you know what Jesus Christ was? A man filled with the Holy Ghost. That's all he was. He was just as much mortal as you and I.
Yes.
He was virgin born and had a flesh that was sinless. We understand that. But he was subject to all temptations
right. That
any of us have ever had.
Amen.
All in one man. Aren't you glad you didn't have to be that man?
That's right.
My, and you wonder why he was so stressed out, physically speaking, as you said that he was 30-something years old, and they said, you're not a man over 50. So he obviously looked older than what he really was. There was no beauty that we should desire him and all these things. We got this image of Christ that we need to know what he really is. Don't listen to some denomination about it. Don't look at some picture or painting that's come out about it. If you look at, I mean, that is a unique one compared to what you see. I mean, he's just this big, handsome, burly man. He's got muscles that just tear a door off. That's not Christ. He's like 5'3", probably, 120 pounds.
Right.
But with a look of just so much authority behind. You know, if whatever he said, it would happen.
Right.
And that's the God I serve. And that's the God that has given me the ability to stand in the wicked day.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
People want to exalt Laodicea. It's just unconquerable. We just can't break through in prayer. We live in Laodicea. No, you just might have to try a little harder.
Amen.
Maybe instead of taking the sword of the Spirit, we took the iPod of the devil. Instead of the shield of faith, I mean, what we got the laptop of Satan, don't we? And we wonder, why can't I overcome? Why can't I overcome? You know, are you even taking on the armor and wonder why the enemy ain't infiltrating everywhere?
Yes.
And it can affect us, every one of us.
Yes.
We live in this world of just access,
right.
Information. It's all there.
Right.
We all have the means to get it, don't we?
Amen.
And as Brother Ram talked about TV and saying it was of the devil, but said it could be a great thing for God. It's just not used that way. The only ones that are ever going to be able to use it the right way is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
But you need to recognize your relationship with God. If you can't handle the dumb thing, burn it.
Right.
Just get rid of it. Don't let the devil tell you need it. You don't need it. We lived for thousands of years without this junk.
Yeah. It's true.
don't tell you how many times I just said, no, I'm done with this thing. I'm kicking it off. I got an iPad I got from the school. You know the first thing that happened when I got this? We just started putting games on it. When I realized I was looking at the clock to wonder when my carrot cake was going to be done on my bakery game, I realized I need to get rid of this stupid thing. You wonder why they've come out with games like this? Because it takes over your life. Why? Nobody likes the life they have to live here. So I'll just transport my life into something in the virtual world and just get my satisfaction after that. Well, I'm sorry, it's an illusion. It's not real. You're just as bad as a man walking in the desert saying, oh my, look at that mansion I can see out there. I'm going to go there. And you're going to find yourself dead one day.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Yeah. You didn't take on the armor of God.
That's right.
You didn't put it all on. You only picked up your pet doctrines.
Yeah.
I like the helmet of salvation, but, you know, the shield of faith, I don't know about that. I like to know in my mind that, yes, I'm saved. Of course I'm saved. It doesn't matter what happened. But, oh my, the devil just come in with any old thing. That's okay. You see what the problem is.
Yeah.
And if you take your helmet off, you're going to live in condemnation because you forgot that you're saved.
Right.
Because you don't got a helmet to keep the things out of your head that are telling you you're servicing, you're lost, you ain't worthy, and all those things. And you'll, we said it already, you won't do nothing for God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Finally, let's try to get in the scriptures a little bit here. Praise the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong. So many people just stop there. All right, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to go overcome. That's not what he said. Be strong in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
That means you go everywhere in him.
Right.
You don't take your day on by yourself. You get on your knees and say, Father, let me be in you.
Hallelujah.
And I in you, you and me. And let's go take over.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. And, oh, I love it, in the power of his might. When Jesus looked at the cross, what the Bible said, his face was like a flint. He saw that thing that no man could overcome. No man in his right mind could go through that willingly. No way to do it, but by faith there was something in Christ, the power of his might.
Thank you,
he looked right at Calvary and he went there joyfully.
Amen.
Why? For the joy that was set before him. And it's the same with us, church. If you start living down here in little world realm right now, you will be men most miserable.
That's right.
Because you'll find out real quick that all your time, all your efforts, all your investments are in vain.
Right.
Because they just burn up.
Right.
Government takes them. You miscalculated something, now you're in the hole, and it's just a terrible world that we live in. But if you can get your eyes set on the promise and realize that this is just a hurdle to somewhere else where eternal life never ends.
Amen.
Where I have a home that I didn't even have to build.
Amen.
It's built for me.
Amen.
By a person that knows me better than I know myself. Why am I investing in something temporal here and neglecting and investing in eternal things?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have to have jobs. We have to live in this world. We do have obligations as Christians to live in this life holy and reverently and respectful for God. But if that is usurping your relationship with Jesus Christ, there's something wrong in your life. Something's wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. I'm a testimony that that works every time.
Right.
I've never one time, I mean, in college, I would have a test and realize that if I got up late or something, I either can pray or study. That's it. That's all I got time for. You get down and pray.
Amen.
God will fill your mind with things you never thought, you never did know.
Right.
Did it for me.
Yeah.
Amen. He knows. Yeah. Look at. And if you're just being lazy, he ain't going to be able to bless that. But if you're really trying with all your heart and just ain't working out just the way it needs to, I'm telling you, put your faith in Christ.
Amen.
He'll let it work out.
Yeah.
Amen. Because his word is true. I didn't say that. Jesus said that.
Amen.
That if you seek first the kingdom, where's the kingdom? It's in you. It's your experience with God. If you seek that relationship with him first and his righteousness, make me like you, Lord.
Yeah.
Make me the same righteousness you are.
Yeah.
Then all these things are added to you.
Right.
We just want to have all these things added, don't we?
Sure.
It don't work that way, church. You're grown up more than that. You're not a little baby anymore.
Amen.
It's time to be Christians. It's time to be soldiers. It's time to put on the armor and fight.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Well, I just can't. I just have to do this. I just got to check the Facebook. Put on the armor and kick the thing out.
Amen.
Every time I'm like it. I mean, the computer's right there, and I use it for studying and things like that. But you tell you, yeah, that little F wants to pop up and just take over.
Right.
I'm right in the middle of something. Well, let's just check that, and then you're on for an hour, aren't you?
Right.
Looking at what? Somebody's trip to Guatemala. They don't even know their name.
Right. It's true.
Why? It's Satan's Eden. That's where we're living. And you need to know that. And you need to do what Paul said. Put on the armor.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And the power is like, verse 11. Let's just keep going. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I don't think I look too much between the lines to know that if you don't put it on, you will not be able to stand
right.
against the wiles of the
right.
devil. But he will be able to get into your life.
Right.
Sure.
But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places means heavenly places, which means that this is not a carnal battle. You can't fight it with logic and reason. This is on a whole new level.
Amen.
It's in the spiritual realm. It's a different dimension. And if you don't have the armor of God on, which does not have reasoning, it does not have a quote book, it has supernatural things.
Amen.
Right.
If you can't fight with the supernatural armor of God, you'll never be able to defeat a supernatural enemy. And too many times people have tried to serve God out of something natural.
Right.
It's just reasonable to believe the message.
That's true.
It just makes sense. You know, I listened to the Baptist, that didn't make sense. But when I got the message, that made sense. You know, that it's got to be more than that.
Yes, right.
Amen.
You've got to find what this thing is.
Right.
You've got to find that Jesus Christ is showing himself,
yes.
and this is the only God there is.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're just going to walk around
right.
defenseless.
Right.
Because the devil's stripping your armor.
That's yeah. right.
Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Well, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? I heard people blame God for everything. You're the one that drank that. You're the one that ate that. You're the one that fed on that. You're the one that was on the internet for 3 hours. You're the one that didn't pray. You're the one that don't read. It's you. It ain't God's fault.
Amen.
I don't know why it got a speed ticket. Did God push your foot down past the speed limit?
Right.
No, you did.
Right.
I just don't know why God don't love. Maybe he does love me. That's why he got pulled over so you can tell yourself.
Amen.
Might be a little loose about that, but I know what the prophet had to say about it.
Right.
He drove the speed limit.
Amen.
We can render unto Caesar what laws he gives
yeah.
us. We ought to do that.
Right. Lord. Yeah.
Take on you the whole armor of God that you may take. You take it. How, Brother Andrew? You've received power from on high. This is your rightful position. It's got your name attached to it. Put it on by faith.
Right.
When you take on the whole armor of God, you've got to know what it is and that it can defeat. It will withstand. It will, because if you do it, the Bible already said, you'll be able to withstand all the attacks
right.
of the enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you've got to make a determination that you're on a certain side and you're in mud.
Right.
Can't be wavering.
No.
James talked about a double-minded man
no.
is unstable in all his ways.
Right.
You've got to decide, I am a Christian.
Amen.
I've been changed because I didn't do this. God did this to me. I know who I am. I know
yes.
in whom I believe. And
right.
I know what he commissioned yes. me to do. And I'm here to do it.
Right.
If you've got that kind of faith in your heart, just like Joshua did, you'll be able to speak to sons and get them to stop.
Yeah.
I said, well, brother, that wasn't a promise in the Word. Didn't need to be, because he was commissioned. And anything that was going to stop that commission, he knew that the word of God must come to be.
Amen.
And when he saw a position, he didn't sit there and think about it. He took the armor that he had on, which in his day wasn't what we have.
Right.
And we sit here and complain, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Look what they were able to do without the atonement.
Right.
How much more are we be able to do with the atonement?
Amen.
When he saw the sun, he knew he was running out of daylight. He wanted to rout these enemies. He wanted to get this battle done today. And I think that's the problem with some of us. We're willing to let it stretch out for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, and we'll just deal with it later. Not that that's not the ambition of the Church of God. The Church of God says 16 men died. Something's wrong.
Amen.
Good.
little, remember that when that happened?
Yes.
They went, they presumed that they were going to fight this battle. They didn't seek the Lord about it, and only 16 men died. This camp had wiped out nations.
Right.
Sure.
Brother Brown said they're 2 million strong and 16 million died. No, you know what they would do in this day if they had that kind of army and they only lost 16 men? They would not have a fasting prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They would have a jubilee.
That's right.
Because it just don't work that way. But that's not the way God does things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the devil does. 99% ain't too bad.
Right.
3 out of 4, you know, ain't bad at all. That's not the way God does it. He's 100% or don't do it.
Amen.
That's the way I think we ought to be too. Lord, if my experience is wrong, tear it down and make it right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't want that wall caving in and my roof going to fall on me someday. Tear this place down and start over.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to take a lot more prayer and, you know, a lot more sacrifice. Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
A lot more dying to myself. That's okay. Now, don't make that a means of salvation. I hope you understand. We are saved. We are changed.
Yeah.
Purely.
Yeah.
100% by His grace. But His decision. But now that we know He made that decision for us, what kind of decisions should we be making for Him?
Yes.
If you ever get a revelation of the kind of grace that God has shown to you, how you can't not but live. If you're walking around, well, you know, of course He's died for me. I mean, look, I'm a pretty good guy, and you haven't met it. You haven't seen yourself the way the Word really said, that we've all come short of the glory of God. If we put it on a scale, you know, God's would be the ceiling. You'd be so low, you wouldn't even see the carpet.
That's right.
Your righteousness. Because it's actually negative. Remember, your righteousness is filthy rag.
Right.
It's actually dirty.
Right.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What does that mean? The loins is the most vulnerable part of any body. You have to have a foundation for what you believe, or Satan will attack you.
That's right.
In the most sensitive situations,
yeah.
He will twist it in such a way that it looks just ever so right. But if it ain't truth,
right,
it's false.
Right.
Do you know the truth just exists by itself? False had to stem off the truth.
That's it.
False is all perversion of truth. That's why there's
right.
So many false ways, but only one right way. And without a definition of truth, and we have it in the Bible, Jesus said, I am the truth. So whatever He said goes.
Right. Yes.
Unless you have that, He will attack you and it will bring you to your knees.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each part. I just want to give a little bit of exhortation. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the old breastplate, it was a plate that went here, and it actually attached in the back, more, kind of like my vest is. That's how it would be. It was a whole plate that would just completely protect what? All your vital organs.
Right.
All your vital, you know, your prayer time, your going to church, all that vital stuff. If you don't have God's righteousness and
that's
you're trying
right.
to do it yourself, all of that will get destroyed.
Amen.
You'll never be good enough. You'll never
no.
Got to have God's righteousness right there. It didn't say our righteousness. It said the breastplate of His.
Amen.
His righteousness.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Your feet shod. What are your feet used for? Somebody just tell me. Wait. To go somewhere.
Right.
To move.
Yeah.
So we're standing somewhere, but we got to have a certain kind of walk to what we're doing around here.
Yeah.
And it's not the gospel of destruction.
Right.
It's the gospel of peace.
Amen.
Miss Phil, now I feel led to go this way. I was wondering why I looked up some of this stuff. Emmy's kept them all in Israel at all.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but if you know anything about Israel,
yeah.
Israel has been fighting war
yeah.
ever since.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the time of Solomon, I can't think of time where they haven't fought wars. It's not Israel that wants to fight wars. It's everybody that wants Israel dead
right.
wants to fight wars. Saw a thing, it said, what if Israel, you know, there's a conflict going on now, and it said, what would happen if Israel decided they weren't going to fight the Israelites versus all the
right.
Arab Muslim nations all
right.
around them? What if Israel decided they weren't going to fight anymore? You know what would happen? There wouldn't be an Israel anymore.
That's right.
They would wipe them out.
That's right.
Let's say instead that the Arabs decide that they're not going to fight anymore. You know what Israel would do? They would have peace.
Right.
Why? Because at least they got enough revelation
yeah.
that they need to walk with the gospel of peace on.
That's right.
The Bible told us, whatever's possible, live at peace with all men.
Amen.
It's not always possible. Right. Jesus tried to live peaceful with the Pharisees, but when they told him he couldn't heal a man on the Sabbath, it wasn't time to stay in peace. It was time for war.
Amen.
But that wasn't his daily walk. You see, his shoes that he had on, he was walking peacefully.
Right.
As long as they didn't bring a bunch of false doctrines in to try to stop the move of God, everything was fine. But the second that God out there, we took on a little bit, we took the sword out of the sheath, and used the word of God. Hallelujah. But you talk about Israel. If you want to see people that have got faith, the people of Israel are your examples of what God. You find a nation that's about the size of what? From Toledo to maybe Columbus and about 50 miles across.
Right.
That's about it. The whole nation that's against the rest of the United States.
True.
And they're still here.
Right.
It wasn't just a one-day attack. They get attacked nonstop, and they're still here. Why? Because man did not start that nation.
Right.
God did.
Amen.
And that's how our experiences are parallel.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, you are a lighthouse in the middle of a sea of darkness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Constantly attacked.
Yes.
But for some reason, you still made it to church.
Amen.
Some reason you're still standing on the word of God.
Right.
And they've had plenty right there close to Israel that's turned on them. They've had to give their land this and that and trying to just make peace, and we do the same. But the second they say, we want you dead, the second the devil comes in and says, you ain't praying no more, you ain't serving no more, this message is false, something rises up and says, all right, no more peace, it's war.
Yeah.
And you take the sword of the Spirit, which is this word, and you quote it and believe it, that it's power.
Right.
The word, the real word of God is God.
Yes.
And as you speak it, God goes forth and it destroys the enemy.
Amen. Yes.
And Israel stood there for the test of time. Why? Because it was prophesied that they would not even just Israel existing, where it existed was prophesied by Jacob.
Amen.
And he knows that.
Yes.
And I'm going to read a quote real quick here, and then I want to read another quotation. Adoption, 1960. Brother Branham says this, and look at Jacob when he was dying, a prophet, blinded, pulled up his feet into his bed and said, come forth, ye sons of Jacob, and I'll tell you where you'll be at the last day. Oh, I know I may seem strange, the people may seem strange, but oh, if you only knew the assurance burning in the heart.
Amen.
And if you got the Holy Ghost, if you only knew the assurance of the resurrection.
Yeah.
You only know the assurance of deliverance. The assurance of healing. Oh my, joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you only knew the assurance burning in the heart, come forth and I'll tell you where you'll be in the last days. And I can take that same scripture and take the map of where the Jews are sitting today and prove to you they're exactly on the same spot that Jacob said they'd be in the last day. And they never did. They haven't been on that spot until they returned since May the 7th, 1946. The night the angel of the Lord appeared to me up there and said for this mission. And I can show you that when they come back into the new land, they struck exactly the spot where Jacob said they would be setting. And they are setting there today.
Amen.
The prime minister of Israel, his name is Benjamin Netanyahu. There we go. Something. I might not be pronouncing it just right, but the prime minister, his name is Benjamin. He made a proclamation to the Hamas. I already say that word too, but Hamas, there you go. I knew there was an accent to it somewhere. He wrote a letter, he made a speech to him here recently. And I thought that, I felt like we need, when we're talking about the armor of God and fighting, this is a good thing for us. This is a nation that exists only by the word of God.
Amen.
We're a people that exist only by the word of God.
Amen.
We, the people of Israel, owe you a huge debt of gratitude. You have succeeded where we have failed. Because never before in the history of the modern state of Israel has the Jewish people been so united, like one person with one heart.
True.
You stole three of our most precious children and slaughtered them in cold blood. But before we could discover the horrible truth, we had 18 days of pain and anxiety while we searched for them, during which our nation united as never before in prayers, in hopes, in mutual support. And now as you continue to launch deadly missiles indiscriminately, intended to maim and murder as many civilians as possible, while you take cowardly refuge behind your citizens, you continue to inspire us to hold strongly onto our newly discovered unity. Whatever despites we Jews may have with each other, we now know that we have one common goal. We will defeat you. But we are offering you one last chance. Within 24 hours, all rockets fire. And I mean all rockets fire. All rocket fire, and I mean all rocket fire, will cease completely forever. I give you a formal notice that our tanks are massed at the Gaza border with artillery and air support at the ready. We have already dropped leaflets over the northern parts of the Gaza Strip warning civilians of our impending arrival and that they should evacuate southward forthwith. If you fail to meet our ultimatum, we are coming in, and with God's help, this time we will not leave. Every centimeter of land that we conquer will be annexed to Israel, and that there will never be another attack launched on our citizens from there. Even so, we will continue to keep our door open to allow you to surrender gracefully. Can we treat the devil that way?
Right.
The moment you announce that you are laying down arms, we will halt our advance, and there we will draw our new borders. If you continue to attack our citizens, we will continue to roll southwards, driving you out of territory that you will never again contaminate with your evil presence. It pains me deeply that your civilians will be made homeless, but we did not choose this war. You did. And if our choice is between allowing our citizens to be targeted mercilessly by your genocide savagery versus turning your civilians into refugees, I regret that we must choose the latter. If you only loved your people as much as you hate ours, this war would have never have happened. To the rest of the world, Israel has tired of your ceaseless chidings that we should show restraint. When you have your entire population under constant missile fire from an implacable enemy whose stated goal is to murder every man, woman, and child in your land, then you may come and talk to us about restraint. Until then, we respectfully suggest that you keep your double standards to yourselves. This time, Hamas has gone too far, and we will do whatever we have in order to protect our population. Hamas, once again, I thank you for bringing our people together with such clarity of mind and unity of purpose. The people of Israel do not fear the long road ahead.
Amen.
And I hope that struck home with you. I hope I wasn't just reading for no reason. As we've watched, you know, the Believe the Sign come up and Seek the Truth and all these names that are left, and they come, what? To destroy one thing.
Right.
They have one goal. It's not for peace.
No.
It's that this gets destroyed.
Yes.
It will only end if we decide to stop preaching. It will only end if we just let down the bars and our women start cutting their hair and we smoke and drink and cuss like everyone else and we don't believe in the power of God, and where we just sit there and, oh, you're all saved by grace. It doesn't matter what you do. Just let down the bars. And no, they won't. They won't stop until it's nothing but a bunch of rubbish. I can prove it. Every denominational move has done the same thing. These souls, these demon-possessed souls have come in, and that's their goal, to destroy the working of the Spirit. And it's the same with this message now, but it should, if we're really believers, if we're really like Israel, what should it do to us? The more the enemy attacks, the more we need to come together.
Yes.
The more we need to realize that we've got a purpose here. And I believe the bride's starting to see that. We walked in, you know, we're just holy and we're just trying to, no, we've got a purpose to defeat the devil's kingdom.
Amen.
And we lived too comfortable too long, so we should be thanking the devil for the fiery trials he's put us through, because when it's over, we will come forth as gold.
Hallelujah.
And Paul wasn't willing to see a halfway victory. He saw the Ephesians. He saw some of the problems they had. He didn't just overlook it and say, it'll be all right. He addressed it.
Right.
And he said, here's your problem.
Yes.
You're not putting the armor on.
Yes.
Put it on, soldiers.
Yes. Amen.
Why are you know, your wives not submitting? Why are your husbands not loving your children and your wives? Why aren't you guys on the job doing what you're supposed to? Get the armor back on and be a testimony for Christ.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Even when Paul, he was in the book of Acts there, let me just read, he's about to leave, and he says this, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I am not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Put the armor on.
Right.
And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock.
Right.
The same as Hamas has one goal to destroy Israel, these grievous wolves have one goal to destroy the sheep of God.
That's true.
Don't let them tell you that they're trying to make peace and just trying to help people and these poor people, oh, they're just bondage and a bunch of legalism. No, they're pronouncing liberty, that they're really the servants of sin.
Yes.
Excuse me. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Why are we surprised? It's happened in the message.
That's right.
Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but Jeff Jenkins is a complete fulfillment of that scripture.
That's right.
It's exactly what he did.
That's right.
He established, you say, why was he there as long as he was? The proof's in the pudding. He wanted to have enough people that are leaving the word that he could go start his own church.
Right.
And make enough money that he didn't have to go get a job.
That's right.
God forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm sorry. I'm here to stand on the truth. Don't be persuaded by that bunch of nonsense. Those people ain't free. They're more miserable than they ever been.
Amen.
You actually go watch. Go watch Brother Jeff's church after he's left. Praise God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's actually allowed to do things now.
Amen.
It's the truth. You better have the truth on or you're going to get attacked and it's going to hurt bad.
Amen.
Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. See, Paul knew better.
Right.
He said, don't make me your intercessor.
No.
I'm giving you to God.
That's
because
right.
Unless you have him with you, you'll never make it.
That's right.
I commend you to God. Actually, I lost the last verse here. Let me find it. Let's put it in the copy. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Brother Branham says this. I'm going to close on this quote. Brother Branham says in Shalom, 1964. Listen, I'm your brother. I love you. Wouldn't it be easier for me just to tolerate when and go ahead and say, well, oh, well, I'll compromise on this. I'm not made out of that.
No way.
No, sir. When it's the word, it's the word.
Amen. Yeah.
God help us to stand for that thing which is true.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It would be fine. Sure, you get more pats on the back. But what will I do standing there on the day with them bony fingers pointing my face and say, you know better, but you failed to tell us.
Yeah.
No. I'll be like Paul. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. No man's blood is upon me. Let it go where it may. That's truth. God knows it, and he backs it up and says it's the truth. Turn to what? To you, to Brother Branham? You would be foolish to do such a thing.
Right.
Turn to Christ.
Amen.
And he is the word.
That's right.
Turn to Christ and get away from greed.
Amen.
Yes.
Stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just reading that about the Prime Minister there of Israel, it just encouraged my faith. I hope it did yours too. That if those Jews, we know that they're promised the Messiah coming. They are, but that's not our promise. That's their promise.
Right.
But they've got enough faith in the Messiah coming for only 144,000 that when they're getting attacked day in and day out, they can't just lay down and die.
Right.
They're there to fight.
Right.
So glad I'm yours. 145. And why are they able to stand there? It's not because they're great people. It's not because they're mighty. It's if you ever study any history to Israel, you'll be a believer.
That's
if
right.
you're not a believer, you'll be one after that. If you study how 50 people could take on 10,000 and
That's
win.
Right.
How you can see a nation that didn't have any artillery, any guns, anything, was able to make them out of nothing.
Right.
And fight off militaries prepared for one purpose, to destroy them.
That's right.
It's just like David. And I think that's where they get all their inspiration.
Amen.
when David was going to fight Goliath, what did Saul tell him? This man has been a warrior from his youth, and you're nothing but a youth. But David wasn't fighting with his muscles. He was fighting with his faith.
Yes.
And his faith in what God had said, that we are the people of Israel.
Yes.
This is our land, and that giant will come down today.
Amen.
He had enough faith when he saw the giant coming. The Bible didn't say he just kind of sneaked up there. He ran towards him. Is that how your faith is with when the devil comes on your land? Or are we hiding in the corner somewhere? Oh, I can't overcome that. It's just too dang the faith of God. Get rid of your faith. Your faith is junk. Let the faith of God come in. So how do I do that, Brother Andrew? Let go and let God. He didn't say that you were the invincible. We didn't say it. He did. We didn't convert ourselves. He converted us. We didn't give ourselves power from on high. He gave us power from on high. Hallelujah. And if he can watch so carefully over just a nation that has turned its back on him time and time again because his word that has gone forth cannot return void, how much more the church of the living God that he laid down his life for. And when we walked in darkness, didn't know what to believe, what to think, here you are. He gave you the blueprint. He gave you the revelation of the word. He showed you the truth that was locked since the foundation of the world. And he gives it to you. And we let the devil push us around. It's not time for that. It's time to stand rightly, securely in our position and to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Hallelujah. Now you that's been raising your hands and things, that's a declaration of faith in your heart. Believe, and you shall receive. Say, Brother Andrew, I'm wavering. One day I'm lost, one day I'm saved. You don't need to live that way. Commend yourself to God now. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm so tired of trying to save myself. May my faith just rest in Calvary. May my faith rest on that bedside where I died and you were resurrected. On that altar where I died. And you resurrected in my heart. You need to find that tie post and don't never let the devil take it from you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Christian soldiers, is the armor getting a little loose? Is that shield of faith just kind of getting laid down and you're getting hit? Have you taken off God's righteousness and wondering why you lost your love because the arrow got you right in the heart? Would you just commend yourself to God? Say, Father, put the armor back on. I'm sorry that I've lived in unbelief. It was by faith. I'm putting it back on in the name of Jesus Christ. You put that helmet on, church. That helmet of salvation. Don't let the devil never talk you out of it. Don't you ever live in disbelief of unbelief. That's sin. You reject that thought. It's the devil. Keep your helmet on. Keep that breastplate on. Keep that shield up. Keep those loins girded with truth. And walk with peace all that you can. But don't forget to have in your hand that weapon. We live in peace with all men, as Israel has tried to live in peace. But there's a time for war. Don't you be afraid to take that sword and use it. You know what it looks like? It's those times where you're at your house and you're dealing condemnation again. You need to get in that prayer closet and rebuke that thing out of your life. And tell the devil he's done. And mean business and stay there until he leaves. David wasn't happy with just knocking down Goliath. He took his sword and cut his head off. Don't you just cut the weeds off. You get down there and you grab the roots out of your heart by faith in Jesus' name. Pull them out and throw them in the fire of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, Father.
Pronounce it. Believe it now. This is your faith that's on action.
Yes.
Don't wait for Brother Andrew. I'm just a man like you. Hallelujah. But there's a big old God here right now. Hallelujah. And he's hearing the word that's been preached. God wants you to stand securely He doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you wavering. That's not what God wants. And don't let the devil tell you that's what he wants. He wants you to know who you are.
Yeah.
He wants you conquering. He wants you to take, as the prime minister said, every centimeter of land.
Yeah.
If it's your prayer life, by faith, take it back.
Yeah.
If it's your love for one another, if it's your love for God, if it's your love for your wife or your family, if it's you women submitting to your husbands and things that we've already talked about, and that you children obeying your parents, if it's that, commend it to God now with faith in your heart that, Lord, it's over. Every day, I'm going to lay that devil down and I'm going to fight. God bless you this morning. God bless your hands that's been raised. May God give you the desire of your heart. Delight yourself in it now. As you feel the presence of God going around, we're changing the order of service. This is a time for you to commune with Him. Nobody ain't looking around. Nobody's worried about somebody else. Don't let the devil tell you that they are. It's you and God right now. Commune with Him. As you speak to Him, open up your heart and listen to Him speak back from the Word. If you're a Christian, you live in condemnation, you made it right. Let the Word speak back and say, you're forgiven, soldier. Now you've got to accept that and believe it. You've got to accept it and believe it. Don't expect God to do that. He forgave you. That's His part. He died for you. That was His part. He gave the atonement. He gave you the Holy Ghost. That was His part. Your part is to believe it and apply it. Hallelujah. As we just let the Holy Spirit move, I'm going to have Dad go ahead and start singing that song. I do want to ask first, if there's any soul that's in need of physical healing, and you want to come forward and have hands laid on you, would you please do that now? Don't let there be any infirmities still here. My dad's been having stomach problems that we know the Lord delivered him of. The devil's trying to give it back. Let's pray together with our brother. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this faithful soldier as he is fighting now in his position.
Yeah.
We pray you heal his body in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you're a liar. You have no power over my brother, my father in the faith. Lord, I thank you for him. May he raise up strong and healthy for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else that has an infirmity? Thank you, Jesus. Praise His glorious name. Praise His glorious name. He's here right now. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't take it for granted. You won't feel this. You won't experience this outside of this Word. It is not there. It's a devil presence. Hallelujah. That holy, purifying fire that you see coming, and it just surrounds all around you. That's not just chill bumps or something. That's God. And if there's still a void somewhere, church, don't let it stay in that heart. God, fill it. I'm just opening it. I'm not holding back all this. It's yours, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just pray a little prayer together to the Lord. Let's speak to Him and then let Him speak back to you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to see your word made manifest here amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that you're telling us time and time again how much you love us and take care of us. And I pray for the children of God, myself included, Lord, that our helmets would be tightly fastened, our breastplates on tight, our loins girded, our feet shod, our shields and our swords up for battle. And that we wouldn't let the devil get any ground in our lives. Don't let us just unbuckle a little bit or loosen up the armor, but to stand strong. And having done all to stand, let us stand as soldiers, as faithful soldiers. I pray that the Holy Spirit that's here will equip every soul that's here in the name of Jesus Christ, that every stronghold of the devil will come down and you'll receive the glory and praise. For those oppressed of the enemy, saying you have no rights, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the word of God, we slay you. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For any soul that hasn't been saved, the captivity of the devil around their heart, In the name of Jesus Christ, may that wall come down as it did in Jericho, and may the army of God go through and destroy all the wickedness. We commit our hearts to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. As Christians, we rededicate ourselves to the purpose of God. That we'll be strong in you, Lord. In the power of your might, we won't hold back, but we'll fight for the gospel. Give us great boldness, as Paul asked for, to speak the word where he ought to, and to not be afraid of bond or imprisonment. Help us, Lord, as well. Bless each one. May the peace of God abide in their lives, and may they stand secure in their position in Christ. Grant each one, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Go ahead and praise the Lord any way you feel. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Oh, aren't you happy you're the Lord's? So glad I'm yours. So glad the mercy has followed me. So glad you found me. Oh, and His mercy is very sweet. So glad I'm yours. Sing it again with faith. Yes, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad. Yeah. well for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Declaration of our faith, every eye closed, every hand raised. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found you that came forth for prayer. God already did that for you. He did it for you. So before I ask us to do this, have that attitude when we go to worship Him. That He did this already. Why did He do it? Purely just because He loves you. He's not trying to get something out of it. He just loves you. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and worship with that? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I think after a message like that, we gotta sing. I shall not be moved. Amen. Psalm 15, key of G. I mean, he's gonna say that right now. Amen. I am not trusting in something I've done. I'm not trusting in some man. Jesus Christ is who I'm trusting, and I shall not be moved.
Amen.
He's given me the Holy Ghost. He gave me the armor. I've got it on. I'm ready to fight. I will not be moved. Amen. Let's sing it together. 15 if you don't know. Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. With all your heart, sing it now. Oh, I shall not be moved. Dismissed this afternoon. Hand the service over to Dad. Remember to keep us in prayer for the service that's coming up. Pray for our brothers and sisters that weren't able to be here as well. And above all, keep that shield of faith up. Stand against all the wiles of the devil. Don't doubt God's word that it's going to hold just fine.
Amen.
God bless you, soldiers. You're dismissed.